The issue we're going to discuss today is once again a halacha that really has a lot to do with this week's parsha. So we begin with the Gemara Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us Asur lehagbia kolo bitfilaso. One is not allowed to raise their voice while they are davening to Hashem. How do we know that you're not allowed to raise your voice? Because we learn from the story of Chana, where the Navi tells us Chana was in a very precarious situation. She was very upset. She was depressed over the fact that she couldn't have children. And we're told that she goes to the Beis HaMikdash to daven v'kola lo yishamea. You were not able to hear her voice as she was davening, as she was offering the tefillah. And from here the Gemara says, if that's the description of the tefillah that we are given about Chana when she offers her heartfelt tefillah, then obviously that is the way we are supposed to daven as well, and that is the conclusion that the Gemara has. Similarly, the Gemara says there in Maseches Brachos Daf Chav Dalid, Hamashmia kolo b'tfilaso, someone who chooses to daven out loud and not to say the tefillah quietly, Hareze miktane amana, you are like a person who doesn't fully believe that God is able to answer your prayers. Why? Because Rashi explains, it's as if you feel God doesn't hear you. It's like you think if you're going to whisper, God is not going to be able to understand what it is that you're trying to communicate. And therefore the Gemara says, Hareze miktane amana, there's something lacking in your understanding of God's presence in your life. And therefore we're told that that is the way a person is really supposed to daven, in a quiet fashion. At the same time that we know one is supposed to daven softly, one is supposed to daven quietly, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillah does quote this halacha, but he qualifies it a little bit. He says, Lo yispalel belibo levad. Although a person is supposed to daven quietly, don't mistakenly think that means you shouldn't enunciate the words. Don't think you're not supposed to say anything. It doesn't just mean you sit and you think. You know, sometimes I look around the shul, there are people who don't say the words. They just read the words. They think it in their hearts, in their minds, but they don't really enunciate them with their lips. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's a mistake. Don't think that just because God runs the world and God understands everything and God knows what you're saying, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to say the words. However, he says, even though you're supposed to say it, mechatech hadvarim bisvasav, umashmiya la'azna belachash, one should be careful that although we don't say it out loud, one should be able to hear it on their own. So you should whisper to yourself, v'lo yashmiya kolo, but other people shouldn't hear it. There is a discussion amongst the achronim, should we assume that this is a rule that only applies to Shmona Esrei per se? Should we assume that only when one is davening Shmona Esrei, that is where you're not allowed to have the tefillah being said aloud? Or should we assume that this applies equally to all parts of davening? You know, sometimes when you have a personal thing that really speaks to you in the davening, we have a lot of pages of Siddur, a lot of pages of Tefillah that we flip through every day, and there are different halalukas or different sentences that might speak to a particular person. So sometimes you go to a shul and you hear somebody screams out when they get up to a certain part of davening, because to them, it's more meaningful than a different part of davening. And then you have somebody on the next bench who's going to scream out something else. And the question is this something that we say is only applicable to Shmona Esrei? Is that the only part that needs to be done softly? Or should we assume that all parts of Tefillah need to be done in a soft tone and should not be said out loud? This is a big discussion. The Kaf HaChaim, one of the great Sfaradish Gedolim, assumes that this applies only to Shmona Esrei B'Lachash, because that is what we refer to as the Tefillas Lachash. And therefore he says it is something that is limited only to Shmona Esrei, and we do not extend it to other parts of davening. However, the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't accept that opinion, because he says the whole reason why we assume one is not supposed to daven out loud is because we feel God is able to hear us however we daven. God is able to understand. And therefore he says that it would make sense that this should be extended not only to the Shmona Esrei per se, but to all parts of davening. One should be careful to daven in a soft tone and not to do it out loud. There's a discussion the Shulchan Aruch has with regard to Vehu Rachum, when a person says Monday and Thursday, the long Tachnun that we say. So the Mechaber writes, you should say Vehu Rachum out loud, and the Ramah says you should say Vehu Rachum quietly. He explains the Mishnah Berurah, why does the Ramah feel it should be said quietly? So he suggests, because after all, Vehu Rachum is really an extension of the Shmona Esrei. Tachnun, we assume, is just a natural extension of the Shmona Esrei, and therefore the rules that apply to that, some of them will trickle down and apply to Vehu Rachum as well. However, the Shulchan Aruch does say in Hilchos Birchos HaMazon, that although this is the case when it comes to Tefillah, and the Mishnah Berurah says it applies to Pesukei Dezimur also, that a person when they're davening should daven softly and not scream out loud. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, Tov la'olam lebracha bekol. It's a good thing for a person to always get used to the fact that they should say a bracha out loud, in order that other people should have the opportunity and the ability to say the Amen to answer to your bracha. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, this is something we should try to do kdei le'orer kavana. Number one, that we should be able to have others answer Amen to our bracha. And number two, kdei le'orer hakavana. He says, when a person is benching, if you're just going to mumble the words, it's very easy just to pass through the pages of benching and not pay attention. However, he says, if you're going to say every word carefully and out loud, then a person will be careful to have more kavana. So the basic understanding, the basic assumption of the Gemara is that the reason why we do not daven out loud is because hareze miktane amana. It's because we assume somebody who davens out loud is lacking in their understanding of God's presence in their life. And the problem with that is, the Maharsha points out, that we have a Gemara that seems to say something a little bit different. The Gemara says in Masecha Sota, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mipnei ma tiknu tfila belachash. Why did the Chachamim institute that one should daven specifically in a soft tone, quietly? Why were they insistent on that? What do they care if I daven out loud or quietly? So the answer should have been, because if you daven out loud, it shows that you don't believe that God is able to hear you. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara rather tells us the reason why we have a tfilas lachash, the reason why we daven silently, is because kidei shelo lavayish es ovrei avera, in order not to humiliate, in order not to shame those who may have violated an avera. So we know that we make some confessions in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and we say, Slach lanu hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. And maybe somebody's going to say something that is a very personal issue, and they're wanting to communicate their personal problem with God Himself, and they don't want others to hear. So, because of our sensitivity toward those who might have personal needs, maybe somebody needs a personal Yeshua, or somebody needs a Parnassa, or somebody needs a Refua, or says the Gemara, somebody has done an Avera and they want to make a confession in the middle of Shemona Esrei to the Ribono Shel Olam, that's a very personal issue, and therefore the Gemara says, we don't want to humiliate someone, no reason to embarrass them, and this is why we have instituted that one should be careful to daven in a softer tone. So if that's the case, why do we need the other reason? We started off that the Gemara says the reason why we daven softly is because hareze miktane amana. If you daven out loud, it shows you don't believe that God hears you. But now we're saying the reason why you daven softly is because we don't want to humiliate. We don't want to shame people when they have personal problems that they want to talk about in Shemona Esrei. So this is the question of the Maharsha, and it needs a good answer. The Maharsha gives a suggestion. One of the Talmidim of the Nodi Behuda and his Tshuva Me'ava, Reb Fleklish, gives an answer. All kinds of suggestions, but the question is actually a very good one. When you look through Chumash, however, and certainly in this week's parsha, you'll find that this is not always the case. So as we mentioned yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu on a number of occasions was asked to daven that the Makkah, that the plague should end. Paro realizes he really made a mistake, he was enslaving the Jewish people, he was making them suffer, and now God came and he punished him, and he comes pleading before Moshe Rabbeinu, please daven to Hashem that this should end. Take away the Makkah, take away the plague, I don't want the country to be destroyed, I don't want the people to be killed. And that's what he goes and he petitions before Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're told, after Makas Tzfardeya, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out, Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem al Dvar HaTzfardeim. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he starts screaming and yelling to Hashem. So doesn't that seem to go against the principle? Now number one, some of Farshim point out, why is it only by the Makkah of Tzfardeya that we find Moshe Rabbeinu Vayitzak? Why is he crying much more than he would cry by any other of the Makkahs that he tried to get rid of? After all, was this so much worse? Was Tzfardeya so much more of a harsh plague to Mitzrayim than any of the others? That Moshe Rabbeinu has to go out and start screaming, Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem? So this is a question that is asked by many Mefarshim. The Sifsei Chacham gives a very, I can't say cute, because it's not cute, but it's an interesting suggestion. He says that by all the other Makos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he offers a tefillah and God answers him. But over here he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, when a person davens, you have to at least be able to hear your own voice. He says, with all the frogs that were croaking all over the place, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hear anything, so he has to scream out loud in order to just hear himself. Okay, that's the answer he gives, whether it's the right answer, the wrong answer, I don't know, but that's his suggestion. Either way, we find Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be going against the rules here. Vayitzak, he's screaming out loud. That's not the way we daven. That's not the way we petition God. That is not normally the way we put ourselves before him. And certainly we find in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, quoting the Pasuk in Chumash, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, Vayishma Hashem as koleinu, God listened to us when we were screaming. And this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu does again later in his life, when his sister Miriam gets tzaras, and she is not well. So we're told, Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem leimor, Moshe Rabbeinu cries out, and he's screaming, he's petitioning before God, Kel na refan Allah. So over and over again, you find this idea, this notion that there are times when in history, it was appropriate to be screaming in the middle of our tefillah. But yet, this is not really the guidelines that we find the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set up for us. This is not the way tefillah is supposed to be done. this is not the way the Shulchan Aruch explains that tefillah should be followed out either. So how do you explain this? The answer is given in the Sefer Mabit. The Mabit was one of the towering figures in the 1500s. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He lived together with Rabbi Yosef Karo in Svat. The Alshech was also one of those who lived at the same time. So the Mabit raises this issue and he says the following. He says the only time that we have a concern of a person davening out loud is when we're talking about the conventional tefillos that are offered every day of the week. So you daven Shmona Esrei, you say Psuke de Zimra. There is when the Shulchan Aruch says we have an insistence that a person should daven balachash, a person should daven softly, quietly, no one else should hear you, either because miktanei amana, either because we don't want it to look like you don't believe God hears you, or because shelo levayish es over avera, not to humiliate those who have personal problems that they're talking about in Shmona Esrei. However, he says, when we're talking about someone who finds himself in a terrible eis tzara, when somebody's in a predicament where they have no option, so he says, you scream. That's the natural thing that a person does. You don't sit there quietly and just carefully say every word. When a person's tefillah comes out of so much pain, out of so much agony, because they're going through such a terrible suffering at the time, that is when we find all of these ideas that somebody screamed out in their tefillah. For example, he says, we find in Megillas Esther that Mordechai HaTzadik goes out, Vayizag ze'aka gedola mara. How does Mordechai HaTzadik go out and start screaming? He's shouting, he's yelling. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he's screaming at the time that his sister has taras? And why is it that we find Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that we go out and we're screaming when we're in the terrible Gullis Mitzrayim? The answer to all that is, says the Mabit, there's a major distinction that should be drawn between a regular conventional tefillah that we daven every day, on the one hand, where that's supposed to be done, belachash, quietly. However, he says, when a tefillah comes from so much pain, from so much agony, from someone who's going through a terrible circumstance, in those situations we assume that it is highly appropriate for a person not only to daven the normal way, but also to scream, to show the Ribono Shel Olam how painful it is, the situation that you are going through. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch we find in Siman Kuf Aleph, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there are those who felt that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur one is allowed to daven out loud. Why is that? He says, because Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, in a certain way, is considered to be an eis tzara. I'm petitioning for my life. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to survive the year. And therefore we assume, since that is in some way considered to be an eis tzara, therefore it is appropriate for a person to daven out loud and not to sit there quietly and follow all the rules, because we're trying to show the Ribono Shel Olam this is something serious, this is something painful, it's something that we take very much to heart, and it's something that really is on our minds. And therefore, we don't always just do exactly the quiet whispering that we would normally do when we daven, but we do something that is extra. We show the Ribono Shel Olam that it is more than a regular tefillah. And perhaps, say the Achronim, this is really the explanation for Moshe Rabbeinu as well. He realizes that Mitzrayim is in a terrible circumstance, he realizes that the Makkah is just destroying them, and that's why by Yitzhak, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he starts to scream, because he says, this is an eis tzara. This is a time where it's appropriate not just to daven quietly, but there are times in our lives when we have the opportunity and the obligation to daven out loud and to show that tzedakah is something that pierces our hearts, that really makes a big difference to the lives that we live.